consecrated for the virgins through the veil of his flesh.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant.
Hallelujah. Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome again to Epistle Life, our Tuesday midweek services. The Lord indeed has been blessing us greatly through this platform, through his servant, Father in the Lord, God's servant, Daddy, Pastor Mika Iguchukwu, and our mommy. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give glory to your name for another beautiful day, another day for an addition of the building block of life, another day for the destruction and the deconstruction of the works of the adversary within our soul. Lord, we ask again today that your mercy will be stretched out towards us for us to be built up again in the name of Jesus. Lord, be merciful unto us and be gracious. Cause your face again to shine upon us and give us peace in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would bless us with understanding. Bless me with utterance to be able to paint again that which you've spoken even through your servant in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I come under the grace that is upon your servant and your handmaiden. Ask, Lord Jesus, in accordance with the measure of my own faith and grace, help me to minister, help me to align myself accurately under them. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we'll be looking at the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy. God's servant's manner is, would read it from verse 1 to the end and just re-emphasize again some of the things that the Lord through his servant began communicating to us last week. Paul, an apostle, 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister question. Rather, give heed to godly edifying, which is by faith, or which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and faith unfeigned, that's sincere faith, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of father and murderers of mother and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers and liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, immortal, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou mightest war, thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith. They put good conscience away concerning faith, and have made shipwreck, of whom is Eumenius and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Can we say amen? It's good to read the scriptures. All right. God's servant last week stayed on verse 5 of that 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he began building the thoughts, showing how the church in the Jerusalem church began, you know, morphing, began changing to where in Acts chapter 13 said there were prophets and there were teachers amongst the people, you know, and that he went into the issue of faith in verse 9, 1 Timothy 1, 9. He said, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man. And he tried making a differential between all these laws. There is the law of Moses. There is the law of Christ. Because some have alluded to this statement to say that for us who are in Christ, as it were, that there is no law. Now, any soul that is lawless, any society, you know, that is without law is a society that is given to a breakdown of order. Now, laws are things what keeps us in check. So knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now, the righteous man there is the man that is supposed to be Christ, or Christ is the righteous man. Now, give me Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, God's servant talked about the law of Moses, the law of Christ, and also the perfect law of liberty. The law of Christ, which is the law of liberty, Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, Romans chapter 8. So that we know that Christ is not without the law, or Christ is not without his own law. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, why is Paul writing the word no condemnation? Because somewhere the Jewish Christians are, as it were, putting a burden on the Gentile church, you know, that they also need to go back to the issue of circumcision of the flesh, you know, the issue of obeying all the laws of Moses. So Paul had to write to the church in Romans, you know, begin to tell them that circumcision is not of the true circumcision. Give me that, please. I think that should be Romans chapter 5. Let's build the thought from there. Trust the Lord for help today. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Yeah, okay, Romans 2. Give me from verse 28. Give me from 28. He said, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh.
Now, this is what a Jew, a natural Jew, would have to go through. Now, the Gentile church, the Lord began to add them to the church, and some brethren amidst the Jew decided to begin to put the Gentile into this, which is what they call proselyte, you know, making a Gentile a Jew. He said, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. Whose praise is not of man, but of God. Give me the next verse. Is there something there? Or is it chapter 3? Yes. Now, what advantage then at the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Verse 2. Much everywhere chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and let every man be a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome them that are judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? If what man does physically is what commends righteousness or commends us to the righteousness of God, then God has no right, as it were, to be able to take out some things on us. Now, it's building of this thought that landed Paul in Romans chapter 8. Now, let's go to that Romans chapter 8. And he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now, for those who are in Christ, there is a way they ought to walk. He said, who walk not after the flesh. Paul said in Galatians, he said, when he pleased the Lord to reveal his son, he said, I conferred not to flesh and blood. Leave it in this Romans. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus has a law, and that law is called the law of the spirit of life. Or put in another way, you can call it the law of life, or the spirit of life, because law is spirit. So there is a law in Christ Jesus. Christ is not without the law. Christ has a law. Sin and death also has his own law. So you see, at times when it looks like it's difficult for some people to break free from some habit, as it were, is an activity of a well-programmed law. Sin is as a result of a law. You know, I find myself saying to some of our folks recently that gravity is not struggling to be gravity. Gravity is just itself. It's just keeping a law. You come into his space, you have to obey his law. No matter how strong or how powerful you are, you know, once you jump, there is a law called gravity that must act upon you. Now, if you're able to break free from where gravity is operational and you're able to break free into the space, you break free into a place where gravity has no hold over you. So what the law of Christ is meant to do is meant to break a man free from another law. So Paul said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, as long as I'm within the purview of sin and death, as long as I do what sin and death measure out to me, measure out this commandment to a soul, that soul would always obey that law. Now, when the law of the spirit of life is being measured out to a soul, those things are the coming of a law or giving of laws upon laws upon materials, that is reconstructing a body that can disobey gravity. So when the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is coming to us, what it's coming to do is that it's reconstructing us. is reconfiguring us. I love the word Paul Apostle used in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So meaning there is a transformation involved. If there is a transformation involved, meaning they are changing us from a form to another form. He said, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are being changed. So laws are designed to change us. He said, but we all, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, what is happening to us, are changed into the same image. Now this image is the image that can beat the law of sin and death. So when you say gravity is a very strong law that almost everybody obey. We obey it every day and we know not. You walk on the street, you're obeying gravity. Now if gravity ceases to exist upon the earth, none of us will be able to walk on the street. We'll start floating. You know, so some folks that want to probably levitate, I wonder how they want to do it. Just getting yourself overtly excited. Because here you have to walk. You have to obey the order of the earth. To break free from the order of the earth is to change form. And that's why you see that if somebody, you know, passes away or sleeps in the Lord or dies, you know, the spirit leave the body. There is an activity of change. The guy can lift and move out of his body. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what is designed to do is to transform a man, is to change a man that can be free. So when engineers, aeronautic engineers, you know, different kind of engineers, electrical engineers, all of them come together to put together a body. Because you see, sin and death also is an activity of a body. In Romans chapter 7, the last verse, the last two verses. Romans 7, the last two verses. Just to say a few things around what God's servant said last week. You know, just starting from, you know, that place, then we'll go into the issue of faith to charity. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So, another, in normal, natural terms, when you hear the word body, is the putting together of many laws. You know, many laws come together to form, a body of a thing. You know, when you see a vehicle moving on the road, you know, there'll be many laws put together to form that body. So Paul was saying that, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, who? Verse 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So there's that which Jesus Christ can offer to deliver us from a body and to join us to another body. He that is joined to the Lord, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Is one spirit with him. So we are members together of that same body of Christ. So in obeying the law of Christ, in obeying the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, we will be made free from the law of sin and death. So the only antidote, the only recipe against sin and death is the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ. That law is resident in Christ. So when Paul was saying to son Timothy here, that knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, meaning the law of Moses is not for the righteous man, because the righteous man also has his own law. Now, it is part of this law that Paul was saying in Colossians. Give me Colossians. He said that nobody judge you by meat. Give me from verse 15. And I have spoiled principalities and powers. This is what Jesus did. Let's go up a little. Give me from verse 10. Thank you. And you are complete in him. So our completion is in that being called Christ. There is a measure of completion that Christ offers to a soul, which is the head of principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised. See, Paul making, because Paul had to take time to labor over the Gentile church. Because some brethren, Jewish brethren, were going to spoil the Gentile church. Were telling them that they need to circumcise. That their faith is incomplete without circumcision. And surprisingly, there's a whole lot of, I think somewhere we just get easily carried away with tokens and, things as it were that we can touch and feel. And it just shows a sense that somewhere we are still carnal. It was a carnal man that lives by what he can touch, what he can feel, the kind of attitude of Thomas. I would not believe until I touch, But a spiritual man, lives by faith. Faith is a tool to make a man spiritual. Faith is a design from God. Except for without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that must come to God must believe that he is. Now faith is, Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of the unseen. Why would I still have hope when I've seen what I'm hoping for? Now, faith is the evidence of the unseen. So, carnality is what makes a man believe more in what he has seen than what he has not seen. Such a man, it will be difficult to walk in the spirit. Such a man, it will be difficult to obey this law of life. So the Jewish brethren were moving around, the community of the Gentile church and were spoiling these brethren. What were they doing? They were making them go back to all the rituals of the Jews. And it's surprising that a lot of believers, saying this under my parents, a lot of believers nowadays are still a bit carried away by that. Some want to go get prayer shawl. Some want to go get water from Jordan. Some want to, I was watching the minister. God bless him greatly. I respect him. Who said to his members that your Holy Ghost experience is incomplete without the baptism in Jordan. And the thing wowed me because, number one, the church in question, not everybody, because Jordan is not my next door. I can't just jump out of my house and move to the next compound and I'm in Jordan. You need a visa. You need to travel. You need a travel ticket. You need to fly a plane there, come back. You need to be able to lodge. So meaning that people who can afford that, they will not come into the full completion of the Holy Ghost. And when he said that, it troubled me, And a lot of believers, they filmed the whole event, went to Jordan, he came out, they were praying in tongues, and it was like, there is no full completion of your experience in the Holy Ghost without baptism in Jordan. And that was very, very mind-boggling. So, but you see, the issue is not just now. It's been an issue that some Jewish brethren, I feel that it is a spirit. It landed upon the Jewish brethren then. Now it's landing upon a lot of believers now. Because it looks like we are, as it were, stalked in our Christian journey. People are not really interested in joining with the Lord. So they feel they've done everything around Christianity. So what is left is go back to the Jewish religion. Where that effort, where, as beautiful as it is, it looks fine. It would be good to take a picture with it once in a while, It looks fine, but that is not it. So Paul was saying to them in the Colossian church here, he said, you are complete. Your completion is not in those things. Your completion is in him. Your completion is in what Christ has done. If you are not able to obey the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, you are incomplete. And if you are not able to obey that law, you would not also have power over principalities and powers. Because you are completing him, he is the head. So for you to also, when you say head, yes, there is a sense of head as in master, but there is a sense of head as in someone who, whose level of judgment, whose level of reasoning is way higher than your own. For example, when they say somebody is the principal of a school, somebody is the head of a school. Now, what makes him head of the school is that he's head of pupils. Now, there is none of the pupils that would have a higher judgment than him or than her. So, Jesus is the head of principalities and powers, and we are complete in him. So, how do we get complete in him? We are complete in him by obeying the laws that are in him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Then we'll come back here. Ephesians 4, 20. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. Now, how do we learn Christ? If so be, first, you have to hear him. Now, when you hear him, you have to be taught by him as what the truth is in Jesus. So, the truth in Jesus is what we are hearing and is what we are being taught by. So the truth should not just be in Jesus. That same truth should be in us. So go back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Are we following? Are we being blessed some? Just follow me. Follow my thought. He said that you are complete in him, which is the head of principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off. You see again this body here again. Paul said it in Romans chapter 7. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Leave it here. Now, the same thing. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So there is a way Christ circumcises us. Christ circumcised our heart by his laws. The laws of Christ circumcised, cut through the foreskin of our heart and begin to rewrite another law which is changing a body. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the oppression of God, who had raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, at it quickened. So, meaning the uncircumcision of your flesh will not stop this quickening. At it quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Let's go on quickly. Blotting out handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to you, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no man judge you. Let no man judge you. You see, Paul was establishing a way to come to God, which these Jewish brethren who are pushing to say that for you to be righteous, you have to be going back to the law. He said, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Because some would say that, you know, somewhere secretly, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yes, in a sense, it's good. We keep the Sabbath day holy. But Jesus said when he came, he said the Lord of Sabbath himself is here. He said, which are a shadow. So you see, all of the things that the Jews did, they were a shadow of things to come. But the body, say with me, but the body is of Christ. So meaning when Christ as a law is coming to us, Christ as a law is bringing a body. So the example I gave that when you need to disobey gravity, you need to build a body. You need to build a body that can disobey that law. So to disobey sin and death is not by willpower. To disobey sin and death is not by New Year resolutions. To disobey sin and death, because sin and death is a body. Paul enumerated it here very well. He called it body of sins of the flesh. In Romans chapter 7, he called it body of this death. So he said, let no man judge you therefore in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow. So all of those things were written and given to the Jew as a shadow of who is to come. And Moses told them ahead of time, he said, a prophet like unto me will the Lord your God raise. You know, somewhere, God help every one of us. God help us greatly. Somewhere we are Jewish in our mind. Somewhere. We want tokens. We want, you know, at times you want goose pimples around you. You prayed for 16 hours, 100 hours. It's beautiful to pray. Jesus said it himself, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He said, to give a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So it's good to pray. It's good to pray. It's good to stay on the word. In, is it Luke now or Matthew? Talked about Jesus' custom. He said he went to the synagogue and took the scroll as his custom is. So it was customary to Jesus to go read the Bible. So all those things are good. But you see, we should understand that there has to be a communication of a law, which is by faith. The doorway to coming into the righteousness that God is making available for us in the New Testament is through the window of faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. From verse 17 or 16, it is the power of God. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's a gospel, and it's a communication of faith. It's a giving of a faith life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. So you must believe that there is something in the gospel of Christ which is designed for your salvation. This gospel is for the Jew and also to the Greek. It came to them first. It came to his own, and his own believed him not. And to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become. He came to his own. This gospel is to the Jew and also to the Greek. But in this gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So the gospel is the giving of faith. The gospel is the communication of faith. So that is said last week, just bringing that thought to a close, then we'll move back to verse 5, is that the law is not made for the righteous. So it's not saying here that the righteous man is lawless. Because, you know, Satan, I was with some of our folks last night and quoted a particular portion of the scripture. And I said, no, go back to that scripture and quote it rightly. I was like, I said, you see, I learning a wisdom from my parents. As simple as the word if is in the Bible, as simple as the word this or the, as simple as it is that you can, you know, imagine me quoting, for therein is righteousness revealed. For there is righteousness of God revealed. No, it's called the righteousness. There's a reason why the word this there is qualifying the kind of righteousness. Because there is the righteousness which is of the law. Paul said, be found in him, Philippians, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith. So it is a qualified righteousness. If you can find a place to be, give it to me. Let's just read it. I think it's in Philippians. Philippians 3. Yeah. Philippians 3, verse 9. He said, I'm being found in him. So you see, like I said earlier, all these things are in him. The truth is in him. The life is in him. So what is in him is what should be communicated. So there is a body frame. There is a body already constituted in Christ that each molecule of law, each firing of a law from Christ to you, which is by revealed righteousness, which is by faith, each firing of that law, what the law is doing, you know, I'm sure a lot of us watch science fiction. At times it's very, very, at times it just catches the mind. You know, when remember Iron Man? Now, Iron Man has a full body, called it, I've forgotten the name, he called that his guy, you know, that is an Iron Man. He is a man. But there's a way he summons the Iron Man. The Iron Man might not come to him in full. He comes first the hand, then the leg joins, then the other hand joins. Now, each of those things is transporting a reality, a full, complete being from a place to him. Now, if you think you have the hand, you have all of the Iron Man. You can be shot elsewhere. Do you understand? So each coming of the law of Christ, when Christ is communicating faith to us, there is a body that is being sent to us. So I need to be able to take all of Christ for that body to be fully formed. When that body is fully formed, that body is designed to disobey sin and death. Is that full formed body, Ephesians chapter 4, he said, till we all come to the measure. So you see, it can be measured. Ephesians 4, thank you, verse 13. Give me from verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, yes. Now this is what the fivefold ministry will do. This is what the Lord, you know, raised our parents, pastors, ministers of God, servants of the Lord in different parts of the body, laboring for saints to be perfect. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Now the word edifying there is edifice. For the building up. To edify is to build up. When you edify a thing, you build it up. So to build up, you see, coming back to this, that same body that I kept talking about. So there is a body of sin. There is a body of righteousness. Or there is a body of Christ. So body, you can't call something a body if it's just only head. Eh? You can't call, imagine you see, you know, some of these horror movies, you see a leg, just one leg walking. You know that is not a complete body. That is incomplete. So that thing cannot, there are some things it can't express. A leg, for example, cannot talk. A hand cannot talk. It can gesticulate, but it can't say anything. For it to gesticulate, probably you have ability to read sign language. But there is what the mouth, which is also part of the body. And even if you see a head alone, you will run. So a complete body is head and body. Everything has to be completed. So when Paul was saying that we are complete in him. So meaning there is a completion that we are meant to come into. When we come into that full completion, we can say a body of Christ, a body that can disobey sin and death has been formed. I don't know whether you are getting me this afternoon. I'm just trusting the Lord to be able to help us some this afternoon by God's grace. Just saying the things that God's servant said last week. Now, I said for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect. The word perfect there is complete or matured, fully grown, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Christ as a measure our stature, and it has to be full. So when this Christ is full, now why would you, for example, you want to travel by air, and you get to the airport, and you see a plane with one wing? Now, why would you not enter? Already, you know that this body cannot disobey, is not designed to disobey a law. Because a bed, for example, because they picked designing airplanes from a bird. Birds have two wings. Now, when you see a bird with one wing, it's obviously not going to lift. If the wing gets bad in the air, it's going to crash land. So obviously, that body is not complete enough to disobey gravity. So I'm saying all of this to say that, you know, Daddy went further, and I'll probably just move to that thought now, went further into staying around verse 5, that the end of the commandment is charity. Now, we've been able to establish that when it says the law the law is not for the righteous man. Now, we've been able to see that law is talking about there is not the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the law of Moses, showing from Colossians, showing from Romans, that some Jewish brethren go ahead to try to force the Gentile church to become Jews. And that was the same thing that Peter, Apostle Peter, also had the experience of when the Lord appeared to him and told him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. You know, and he went to the house of Cornelius. When he got back, he had to face a panel. I said, you went to a Gentile house. Hey, it's not me. This was what happened. I was on my own, minding my business. I saw a vision. And they said, I should go. I said, this is unclean. He said, what I've called clean. You know, and he had to explain himself out. Now, that's how bad it could be, you know. And if care is not taken, you know, something just flashed through my mind now. If care is not taken, you know, there's a way. That's why I said at times we can also be Jewish in our mind. You know, there's a way those within the waters of the world of righteousness can just feel, you know, those ones, they are not designed to enter into it. No. 1,000 times, no. 1,000 times, no. Because it's God who would have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So when you see our brother, brethren outside, brethren in different denomination, different part of the body of Christ, we should know that we hold them that showing for that beauty of Christ. There is who Christ is. There's a way Christ would behave. There's a way Christ would live. There's a need for us to be able to show them that beauty. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. So if truly we understand the parameters around the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, and we've been fully formed as a matured man, we would know that we because for example, for you to become a Christ man, meaning you must have obeyed the Ephesians chapter 1, beginning foundation, which is faith towards God and love towards saints. It's faith towards God and love towards all saints. Now, you must have obeyed that. You must have been grown by that. Who shall we teach knowledge? Or who shall we make to understand doctrine? Isaiah. Who shall we teach knowledge? He who is weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. It is him that we shall teach knowledge. So, meaning there's something milk had done to such a soul. There's something milk had prepared. Milk prepares the soul for knowledge. And milk here is the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. Isaiah 28 verse 9. Elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. So these elementary principles gets us ready to be taught knowledge, which is also the communication of truth. And who shall we make? So you see, when it comes to doctrine, doctor is a making. They teach you knowledge, they make you. Doctrine makes you. Because when doctrine is done, doctrine makes a man that is doctored in a particular way. A man that can't break free. You know, the way we do works of the flesh by stimuli, it's almost as if it's not premeditated. You understand? You know what to do when somebody gives you a particular kind of face. Your response is not premeditated. Your response is not thought of. Your response is not, you don't wait on your response. You don't say, okay, this kind of face, what is this? You understand? You just by default know how to also give the person a cold fit or just shove the person away. It's a doctor, a doctrine kind of within the soul. So when Christ is coming as a law, you know that example of the iron man I gave. When Christ is coming as a law, Christ is bringing all his materials one after the other. And the bringing of that material is the bringing of a body. And as they are bringing a body, they are deconstructing a body. So the deception many a times that we at times fall into is that we don't at times wait for the body to be completely deconstructed. You know, in this verse 5, it said, now the end. So if it has an end, of course, the word hand there means a lot of things. It means goal, it means purpose, it means reason, you understand? But really, let's look at it as end. I started a journey in Lagos. I'm going to Ibadan. Now, the end of my journey from Lagos is Ibadan. Now, when I'm in Ibadan, it's very clear. I'm in Ibadan. I'm not in Lagos. So when you're trying to use Lagos geography to ask me of my destination, I can't give you Lagos geography again. It's completely out of my region. The only geography I can give you is what I see in Ibadan, the red roof. And you know that Ibadan red roof is been there for ages. You know, those are the things I can give you as what I am seeing. So my view will completely change. So the end of the commandment is charity. So when you say somebody is a charity man, is a man that has gotten to hand. That's a body already formed. And you see, to journey from, you know, especially in this part of the world, I don't know elsewhere, I've not had the privilege of traveling to any other country other than Nigeria. You don't make very firm, asserted words. Maybe you are traveling from Lagos to Ijebode, and I say I'll be there in 30 minutes. You'll be very wrong, because you can be there the next day. There could just be a trailer on the road that will break down. And so, for you to say that there are things to cover between beginning and end. Faith begins something, charity ends it, but there is a journey in between. Now, this journey in between, if we don't really pay keen attention to it, we would end up making wrong conclusions or getting to wrong ends. Okay, so let's go further. Let's stay on this 1 Corinthians. So I hope we understand, you know, just reiterating what Daddy said yesterday, that when he said the law is not made for the righteous, he's not saying that the righteous man is lawless. He's just saying that the law, that law there that Paul was saying concerning to Timothy, and the reason why Paul had to, because of course, you know, Timothy was also, Timothy was also a Gentile. So Timothy was pastoring a church in Ephesus. It's a Gentile church. So Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy, his son, that you need to be able to, communicate to this Gentile who are now born again, that the law that the Hebrew brethren are trying to push them or force them to come into is not meant for them. They have their own law. Their law is called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I think we've been able to establish that. So let's move further from there. It's maybe Praventure, today is your first time of being on this platform. It's a teaching platform. God's servant, you know, just tries to show us here and there the lives, the epistle life. Not, you know, some of them are written coded words. They have to be broken down so that we can, by it, you know, also begin to pick life from the epistle and use it for our daily livings. Can we say amen? All right, so going further, verse 5. It says, so now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a sincere faith. Charity is the end of the commandment, is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of sincere faith. Now, I would say some few things, just read them verbatim, some of the things that God's servant said last week. He said faith begins a journey, and charity, faith begins the commandment, and charity ends the commandment. Faith begins the commandment, and charity ends the commandment, because the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Now, the word faith is righteousness. Give me that Romans chapter 1. Faith is righteousness. So we can agree that faith is what is right before God. Because righteousness can be a bit subjective if we have to define it by what people call right. So this righteousness is not by what I call right, what you call right, is what God says is right. And the first thing that God says is right is Christ. Give me that verse 16 back. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So the theme here, what is being talked about, is the gospel of Christ. For in the gospel, because all he did was just begin to expand what is in the gospel. It's called power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But for in it, therein, in the gospel of Christ, in the meal called Christ, in the allocation of the dispensary called Christ, in the giving of the body of Christ, what is in it is called righteousness of God. So, in the gospel is what God calls right. And what God calls right is only revealed by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So how do they reveal righteousness? How do they reveal righteousness? Romans chapter 10. Give me Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, quickly. Give me verse 14. From verse 10. Yes, popular. Now, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that come of call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Paul began to enumerate. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? Now, how shall they believe in him? They have to call on him, believe in him, of whom they have not heard. Remember, verse 17 of that same place. Verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how would they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how would they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Why is their feet beautiful? Their feet is beautiful because their feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So if it's a gospel of peace, it's a gospel that would deliver a man from carnality. It's therefore to be carnally minded is death. Leave it here. Romans chapter 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, who is a spiritual man? Sorry, I'm just trying to, you know, so that we would, while I'm doing all of this, I'm trying to steer our heart in such a way that righteousness comes to us by faith. Faith is what we hear. We hear faith. Now, when we hear faith, he said, as you have not so learned Christ, Ephesians 4:20 that we read earlier, you've not so learned if you have been taught by him. Give me that place. Ephesians 4:20, 21. You have not so learned Christ, 21. If so be, thank you. If so be that you have heard him, so you have to hear him. Now, when you are hearing him, what you are hearing is faith. Now, the faith you hear, you have to be taught by that faith. Now, being taught by the faith is the faith. A thought came to my heart, you know, while preparing for the meeting. And the way the Lord painted it to me was like, you know, when you get a gift, they could bring a big box wrapped with many things inside the box. See that as faith coming to you. Now, if you leave it as a box, you don't know what is inside. So you begin to unbox. You begin to bring out the packages. You begin to bring out the things that are inside. Now, in bringing out the things that are inside is what James was saying in James chapter 2, verse 20. Faith without works is dead. It is dead. James 2:20. Give me that, James. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works. Now, I remembered many years ago, you know, I had to give in because I felt it was already causing a conflict between me and my dear brother then, you know, many years ago, way long before I even came to EGFM. I remember myself and a dear brother, you know, we were put together in church then. We were at the junction. I can still remember the junction where he was, I said, this thing is not works of your hand. I didn't have an understanding to it, but in my spirit, I know that this is just not works that your hand do. Because he kept saying that faith without works. So you can't tell me you have faith and you're just sitting at home. I agree with you in a sense. I said, but this is not what the scripture is saying. So faith without its work. Faith has its own works. Faith has its own instructions. Faith has its own commandment. That is when you are being taught by him. So faith begins to unbox itself. Now, if you don't allow faith to unbox itself, that faith is dead. Because what faith is meant to communicate to you is that faith is meant to communicate life. So I get to church, pastor ministers, our parents, they finish preaching, and after administration is done, I get home. A scenario creates itself. You know, I won't make reference to it, you know, because I know they also be streaming, you know. But I was making a reference to this, our short movie, God When, you know. And when one of the brothers bought a car and the other, no complaining that, you know, why God when would I have my own car too, you know, even if it's a tire, you know, let me just roll it up and down, you know. Now, while he was in the complaining mode, faith came to him to teach him. Now he has a choice to either hear faith and allow faith to teach him. Because when faith teaches you, if faith teaches you, faith purifies heart. So what faith taught him was that faith taught him, package a gift, put money inside an envelope, give him that money to buy fuel. You see, that thing is not what a minister preached. But that thing came as a result of, if you have heard him. Are we together? If you have heard him. So he has first heard him. Then works has to be done. So you see, that work is not just what you do physically. It's the works your soul do. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So good works should make a man good. So when you say faith, thank you, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God had for before ordained. How did he ordain it? That we should walk in them. So we are created for good works. Good works generate a life. So if you don't allow faith to do his works, you won't come into life. Because the end result of every giving of faith is life. When faith completes its cycle, when faith begins a cycle and completes its cycle, what the end of the cycle of faith is a life. Oh, you heard what charity. You know, charity is not struggling to do what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Charity, that is who he is. Now, I can try to imitate charity. Eh? And I'll get to where I will be inspired. But charity is not him. Charity is just him. It's just him. For example, I have a bit of height advantage. Now, if you put something on a high height, I can stretch and pick it. I'm not struggling. It's not a struggle to me. But somebody that doesn't have, you know, that is a Zacchaeus in this part of the world, you know, we need an aid. We need an help. Are we together? So we have heard him, but we need to be taught by him. So the secondary teaching by him is when commandments are being given for life. So when he said the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. So how does the heart get purified? Give me Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 9. Acts 15, 9. Let me just read it from verse 8 for... He said, and God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So Paul here was the title. The Jews troubled Gentiles. They dealt with Gentiles. A Gentile just looked like a dog that they don't want to see. He said, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So faith is a tool for purifying the heart. Faith is a what? Is a tool for purifying the heart. So Paul was saying to Timothy that the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Because why? Faith will purify the heart. That he said last week. He said faith purifies the heart. And he used the word. Is that fear is faith in the wrong direction. Fear is faith in the wrong direction. I was saying to some of our brethren, went to minister somewhere, and I told them, I said, the way faith comes by hearing, the same way fear comes by hearing. Now, Daddy was making a reference to, you know, when you hear the word a fool at 40, and there's a fool forever, and you by mistake, or by chance, or by providence, or by anything, call it anything, you just find yourself at 40. I do not that your 40 hood is still like, you are looking like a fool to throw. Because there is nothing to write to me about in your 40. You are just, you have nothing to your name. Even the bank account that you have to your name, there is nothing inside. So you now begin a race because somebody has told you a fool at 40 is a fool forever. So you say, okay, let me see if I can beat my own fool and push it back at 50. Maybe I'll become something. And you begin the race. You see people at age 50, they are going for masters in UK. Now the masters in UK is not because they want to go and do anything in UK. It's because they want to jackpot. I can't imagine at 50, I will not be struggling inside cold. Working, laboring at age 50. And they will continue like that until the person is 70, expired away. So that, what the person had is a faith. Because faith gives rise to a kind of life. So also fear, which is a faith in wrong direction, that he said. It gives life, give rise to a kind of life, a kind of life that Paul was making an allusion to in Hebrews chapter 2. He said, those who through, did he put it fair, were subject to bondage? Hebrews 2, I think 2:5 or so, quickly. And deliver them who through fear of death. Now, this death here is not the physical departure. Because you see, somebody is 25. It's not really the fear of death that is making him wants to hustle. Say, I'm a hustler. Everybody's an hustler. Hustle. You sit there, up and down. Everybody's running up and down. Helter skelter. Hustling. Eh? You see, the reason for the hustling is the fear of death. And that fear of death can keep a man through his lifetime. So through his lifetime, he's subject to a life called bond age. It's the age where they bind you. It's bond age. So to deliver you from bond age is to bring faith. Faith is good for the heart to be established with grace, because grace is also faith. It's good. Let the heart be established with grace. And not with meat. Labor not, Jesus said, for the meat that perisheth. Now, the meat that perisheth is what give, because meat, another word for meat, if we go by Revelation, meat is also a gospel kind of. It said for the 1 Corinthians 10, for they ate of the spiritual meat, and they drank of the spiritual drink, and of that rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now, I love what Pastor Kwe said one of the days while he was ministering, I think at LSE. He said, when we hear the word spiritual, there is negative spirituality. And that's carnality. So everybody somewhat is spiritual. You know, there's a way we say spiritual, Christ. Yes, Christ is spiritual. But the negative of Christ is also spiritual. But it's just a negative spiritual. So if you are not giving attention to what would deliver you from the... Because a bondage is a negative life. It's a negative faith. It also has an end. The end of a carnal man is death. The end of a spiritually minded man is life and peace. Are we together? Do we get it? So, Paul is saying here that the commandment has an end. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll just begin to put my thought to an end from there. So we understand from what I said earlier that Ephesians, don't go there, that Ephesians chapter 4, he said, if you have not so learned Christ. So really, what we are called to do is to learn Christ. Now, Christ is the charity man. Christ is the perfect man. Christ is the matured man. Christ is the man that is going to God. So who we are called to come and learn? Now, if you are learning him, you are learning him to become him. So who we are called to come and learn? We are called to come learn Christ. Now, how do we learn Christ? We have to first hear him. So the Lord raises ministers, call them fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. He raises fivefold. For which purpose? For the purpose of hearing faith. So what pastors, ministers of God, serving the Lord sincerely, you know, laboring day and night for the cause of the gospel, what they do is to be able to pull faith resource from a world. He says, so then faith comes. So they pull faith resource from a world and they teach faith. So when teaching scripture is teaching of faith or hearing of faith. Now after hearing faith, faith will follow you home to now teach you. So that the truth that is in Jesus can also become a reality in you. I love the way John put it in 1 John. He said, which thing is true in him? I think that should be 1 John chapter 2 or so. If we can find it, if we find it, we just read it. Which thing is true first in him? Yes, again, verse 8. He said, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing? So you see, this thing that is being written to us is already true in a being. In our Lord Jesus Christ, everything is true in him. From the lowest level of life, from life to everlasting life to eternal life, everything is true in him. But it can be true in him and it's not true in me. So John said here, which thing is true in him and in you? So for it to be true in you, darkness must also be past. And the true light must also shine. So go back to that, Peter. So do we understand how faith as a commandment comes to us? Now, who teaches? The secondary teacher is the Holy Ghost. And that's why we cannot do without leading of the Spirit. It's in leading of the Spirit. That's when they begin to command us. Jesus gave commandment by the Spirit. He gave commandment to the apostles by the Spirit. He did everything in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit rested upon a dove. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. It's by the Spirit. So Holy Ghost will come. Holy Ghost will instruct you. Okay, that brother. Because I discovered that many a times. You know, that the Egochukwu ministering one of the days I write in the vision. He said, the enemy is not your brother. He's not your brother. I said, because the reason why we think he's our brother is because somebody took eyes from us. Now, the person that took eyes from us shows me that my brother is my enemy. And I'm busy fighting my brother. And he is there just laughing and enjoying himself away. Now, it will be easier for us to be able to. The reason why it looks like it's been very difficult to bring down this arch enemy of God's people is because somewhere he does divide and rule. And what is divide and rule? He keeps saying your brother is the problem. Your sister is the problem. So the energy of pulling the attention towards your brother has dissipated your energy to be able to attack him. But the day we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it's not carnal because it's not a carnal thing, it's not carnal because we are not fighting flesh and blood. So the day I know it, the easier and quicker it will be for us to get the enemy out. So here Peter will say that love covers multitude of sins. Huh? Love covers. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4. He said, above all things. If there's one thing that I know that would help us, you know, I find myself, you know, some things happened, you know, yesterday in the evening. I didn't even know I was going to take a epistle. I just found myself repenting. I said, Kai, Lord, help me to do charity. Help me to do charity. Help me. He said, this thing, we need to pray. If some people will have to fast. We have to fast. You know the way, I love what our pastor Tosin Gabriel always say. He said, at times, people have business trouble. You pray and fast. Just to make sure that business is stable. He said, but how many times have we prayed and fast? Lord, more, meek. Help me to be meek. Eh? We need to pay attention to these things. He said, above all things, have fervent charity. Now, to be able to cross what is disturbing us from entering into the life behind the veil, we must enter into this place of fervent charity. Pastor Thompson will call it a fertile burning heart. And don't think you know what it is. Because when I tell you, charity, I'll just keep buying. You can keep buying gift and you don't have charity. Because it is still the same thing of revealed righteousness. You hear faith, but wait for the instruction that faith will give you in what it wants to work in you specifically. Some people are good at giving things. They can even give themselves. Eh? But tell that person to suffer the issue of prominence. Die to prominence. Die to the praise of men. Die to people celebrating you. That thing can be a difficulty for that soul. So when they want to instruct you so that sins will go, if they want to destroy that body of death and body of sin that Paul said, and to form in you the body of Christ, then they have to teach you. And how they teach you is that they begin to bring commandment. Holy Ghost will bring commandment. And the reason why we need to pay attention to this is this issue of conscience. Conscience, 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 conscience. Satan wants to weaken. He wants to make conscience bad. Daddy talked yesterday, last Tuesday, about the issue of good conscience. You know, part of the things that the law of Christ will do is to make your conscience good, and to make your conscience pure. And the final one is to make your conscience perfect. Now, because also we have what is called weak conscience. The conscience can be weak. And in Christ, why they need to really, really, really purify our conscience is because somewhere the conscience is still evil. Give me Hebrews chapter 10, just Hebrews 10, 21, 22. Hebrews 10, then we'll come back to this First Peter and I'll be done. I'm sure we've been blessed some. Hebrews 10, 21. He said, and having an high priest over the house of God. So what is the high priest over the house of God doing? Is the high priest, our Lord Jesus, over the sanctuary. What was he doing? Because remember, Paul was telling them here now that you have come to Mount Zion. So this is sanctuary, brethren. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. So he began to say to them, let us now draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of it, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. So when the high priest appears, what he's going to do is to sprinkle the heart from an evil conscience. Why? Because they need to make the conscience perfect. See, let's be very, very careful around anything that can make our conscience seared. Don't get your conscience to the place where it becomes numb. Don't allow your conscience get to where it's numb. What is a numb conscience? It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's a numb conscience. A conscience seared with hot iron. Seared. I see when you... Those are the troubles. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4 is the same thing. Last days, latter times. Quickly, 1 Timothy 4. It said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit. So you see, what is attacking conscience? What is attacking your faith? Because I loved what God's servant used. He said, and I want to read it from here. He said, when faith is sincere, it will produce good conscience. Now, what does it mean when faith is sincere? When faith is sincere means when faith is born out of revealed righteousness. A faith born out of the revelation of the truth is a sincere faith. And what that faith will do, that faith will produce a good conscience. Because why? Conscience is an instrument of judgment. Don't let your conscience become bad. As husbands, as wives, spouses, don't let your conscience get to the point where you have an evil conscience towards one another. I know that thing is very subtle. It's very, very subtle. We have to be cautious. We have to keep crying every day. You know, God's servant many years ago said he prays a prayer, and then I didn't really understand. Akilo was there. He said, Lord, circumcise my heart. He said, for him, his major prayer is the circumcision of the heart. God, circumcise my heart. Why? Because conscience, hey, if it gets bad, if it gets to the point where the conscience is seared, Kai, that person is irrecoverable. So the Lord, in mercy, wants to get us to a place where our charity is fervent, hot. Heart charity, meaning our, you know, the way our father Abraham was. Bible said, what did Abraham in the days of his flesh, what did he find? He found faith. So how did he find faith? He found faith by obeying commandments. So Father Abraham obeyed commandment to the point where his charity became so fervent. Fervent. He obeyed the Lord almost on the instance. When God says, go now, Abraham, he doesn't second guess the Lord. And that is a heart that the Lord has tried the reins and made it alive. When the reins of your heart is alive, is very much alive, it will be difficult for you not to be able to keep the charity command. For some, we are still in the process of imitating. Yeah? Paul said, be ye imitators of me. We are still in the process of imitating. But you see, we need to get to the point where we can hear the Lord and be taught by him. And when we are taught by him, truth that is in Jesus will become truth in us. And when that truth is already in you, you are no longer faking it. You are no longer trying to form. You are just living. A man is not trying to be a man. I mean male. You are not trying to be. You are just it by default. You didn't look for muscle. You just got that muscle is coming out of your body. It is part of the configuration. So if I allow Christ, faith, the hands in charity, if I allow it to begin to configure me, there is who is going to give back to. Can we say amen? So let's see that. Second Peter, chapter 1. So Peter was saying to them here, beside this, giving all diligence. If there's something that we need to do in this season much more, from verse 5, if there's something we need to do much more in this season, if we need to obey this live in the epistle, we need to be able to give all diligence, not some diligence. Don't just gloss over it. When the Holy Ghost points your heart to something, don't gloss over it. Don't give it time for the import of the Spirit to wane. Swift, move into action. He said, give all, not some diligence, all diligence, then add to your faith. So between faith and charity, there are condiments to be added. One of the condiments is virtue. Another condiment is knowledge. Another condiment is temperance. You need to be temperate. Patience. Godlikeness, godliness. Brotherly kindness. Some of us are not kind. The Lord didn't instruct me. But you are seeing your brother in need. You are seeing your brother going through pain. He said, I'm waiting for instruction of the Lord. No, this one is kindness. It's a nature within. So when those natures are worked in us, it is out of those nature, they hand it in charity. Now, he said, if these things be. So, they should not just be in you. They should abound. So, Peter was making reference to 1 Peter chapter 4. That beside all of this, have fervent charity. So, how do you have fervent charity? These things must be in you and abound. When they abound, you will become neither barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be like this. I want to be a man that is fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a man that is not barren. And the doorway is charity. The doorway is charity. The Lord will help us greatly in this season. Dearly beloved, we need to understand that charity is not optional. It's a commandment. It's not optional. It's not optional. It's not for some few. It's not for some selected few. It's for all. It's for all. It's for all. A charity man believeth all things, opened all things, endureth all things. Endureth all things. The Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will help us. So the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience. So sincere faith would give rise to a good conscience. Yeah? A sincere faith. And I said sincere faith is not, oh no, my faith is sincere. No, sincere faith is a faith born out of the revelation of righteousness. Your faith can't be sincere if it's not revealed. So when they reveal righteousness to you, the revealed righteousness is the sincere faith. Now, when you begin to do that righteousness, you are doing what is right before God. Your heart is being purified. The Lord would work on us. The Lord will show us mercy. You see these things, one thing, thank God for SOS last week, Thursday. You know, one thing I've known is that this is a possibility. You know, one scripture for me, finally, that consoled me all the time is in Philemon chapter 1. That scripture is my scripture, and that scripture gives me comfort all the time. I'm always happy that this can be the story of a man, and this can also change and become another story. Verse 10 and 11, Philemon 1 is only one verse, only one chapter, Philemon 10 and 11. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I begat in my bonds, which in time past. Is this your story? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that walketh to the children of disobedience. Is that your story? If that is your story, it is time past. Because you are coming to another season of a now. Now faith is. You are coming to a season of the revealed righteousness, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. So there was a time, this our dearly beloved brother, young man, lovely, lovely brother, that was taken over by Satan. There was a time he was unprofitable. Everything around him, he cannot give you profit. His presence can annoy you. Everything around him is unprofitable. But his story changed. He said, but now, profitable to thee. Imagine a man being profitable to Paul. Paul, a man can be profitable to Paul. He said, profitable to thee and to me. So what made Onesimus profitable? Onesimus gave himself wholly to these things. Give me that place in Timothy, finally. I will be done. Thank you, Lord. Give yourself wholly to these things that I profit in my appear unto all. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Give me from verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by with the laying of hands of the presbytery. Verse 15, my emphasis. Meditate on these things. Give yourself, brethren, in this season, if there's one thing you need to do, give yourself wholly to all you are hearing. Give yourself, not sparingly. He that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. For he that sweat bountifully would also reap bountifully. Give yourself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may appear to all. So meaning, there was a season in the life of Onesimus that he was giving himself wholly to these things. He was giving himself wholly to faith. He was giving himself wholly to charity. He was giving himself wholly to the commandment. He was giving himself to the hearing of faith and the doing of faith. He did it to the point his profiting appeared. It was one time unprofitable. So it's not a bother. It's not a surprise to the Lord. The Lord is not taken by surprise. The Lord is not afraid that you might be unprofitable. You might be. I'm not saying you are. You might be. Even if you are. The Lord is not shocked. Onesimus was once like us. He was one time unprofitable. But he kept giving himself wholly to these things. And he gave himself to the point where he became profitable. Who will become profitable? Who will profit with Christ? And would become that which the Lord has designed us to become in the name of Jesus. Can we pray? Our Father, we thank you this afternoon again for your mercy. Thank you for the coming of your word. Thank you for how you helped us today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We give glory to your name, Jesus. We pray that these words would bet a change of nature within us in the name of Jesus. We will give ourselves wholly to these things in the name of Jesus. And our profiting would appear in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. See you next week.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.